You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my very special guest is Don Newsom. Don is one of the two owners, who are twins, that started BBS Radio back in 2004. BBS Radio is one of the first networks in the world to provide the live internet talk radio broadcasts professionally and remotely engineered. In 2004, there may have been one other radio network providing the kind of quality that BBS had, but none were as original as the two founders, Doug and Don Newsom, provided. And I was fortunate to come on board a few years after they started, and it's really been a life-changing experience. Don is a very spiritual, this is from his own bio, but yet private man that you will come to know through the course of time. In tonight's show, I'm hoping that you'll get to know him a little bit better because he hasn't had his own radio show for a bit and kind of stays in the sidelines. But he delights in helping others make their way through the penal colony we call Earth. He's on a mission of change, one that will promote joy, peace, and love to all. Being extremely passionate, he wishes to be of service to others. It is his hope that we find our higher purpose and identity with the divine creator, being one with all. And lastly, he says, remember, no matter how often you look in the mirror, the only thing reflected back is love. So it's with great pleasure that I welcome to the show tonight, Don Newsom. And I think Don is with us, or will be with us shortly. Don, are you there?
I am here. It is a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for that introduction.
There's that wonderful voice. I remember some of the early shows that you did with Winfrey. Is it Winfrey?
It is, yeah.
Yes, yeah. And it seems like those are kind of crazy times. What was it like back in the beginning? Was it as crazy as I think it was?
You know, it may be crazier because, you know, we didn't really know what we were doing. We didn't have anybody to follow. There was no rules of the game. You know, we were making everything up as we went along, basically, when it came to BBS Radio. And, well, nothing's really changed.
Right, exactly. It's just kind of like that now, isn't
That's
it?
That's right.
Well, you've had hundreds. I mean, I've never seen anything like BBS Radio. You know, since I've been here for about 10-plus years now, and it's just been such an honor to have so many hundreds of people that on my own show, and you've had hundreds of hosts, and you have, at any given time, about 40 or 50. Is that about right?
Oh, yeah. You know, we're usually sitting at around 80-odd hosts, 80, somewhere in there, I would say.
Wow, wow. And many of those shows, you've been, you know, coordinating all of the recordings and the coordination of two different networks and whatever else you have going on. What's that like when you're in the control room and you're, you know, running the shows?
Well, now it's pretty calm. You know, it's fairly easy. The routine's there. Everybody seems to know what they're doing. Even us. So it's quite a pleasure. I mean, you hear everything, of course. It's still pretty zany. You hear everything from all walks of life. And after a while, that desensitizes you, of course. You're not really, you're not prone to go, you know, crazy in the mind over really anything, right? Because you've pretty much heard it.
So you're right.
That's kind
over
of where
and over,
you
probably.
End up. Right. Kind of information overload, right?
Yeah.
So eventually information doesn't quite have that same effect on you anymore, no matter how weird. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there were times when I was digging down this rabbit hole and that rabbit hole, and, you know, you go as far down as you can because there is kind of a limit to how far you can dig before you hit a brick wall. But, you know, after a while, like you said, it all becomes kind of part of your just general awareness.
Right, it does. But, you know, the trick is, even though, after a while it does sort of seem blasé, it really isn't. I mean, the information we do have is pretty incredible, to say the least, because we don't censor people. They can say what they want. So we have a really eclectic mix of people who say what they want. And you'd know that if you were listening to the network. We don't censor people or put people on delay. We don't tell them what they can or can't say, what they can talk about, or even topics that they have to avoid. Really, it's kind of an open playing field. And the hosts that come to our network understand that and know that. So you really get the skinny of things, the straight and skinny of it, at least according to the host. And then, you know, there's a lot of fulfillment in that, in my mind, because when I came on the scene, you didn't do that in radio.
Mm-hmm.
That just wasn't done. And I hadn't been in a radio station before, so I didn't care. still haven't been in one, so.
Well, you know, the other thing is, those big affiliates that have, radio stations all across the globe, and you know, there's the one main show that I won't mention the name of that has alternative media that,
You can say anything you want.
Oh, that's right. We're live. Yeah, I can say what I want. You're not going to get sued, are you? Have you ever been sued?
No.
I didn't think so.
Never been sued, never been into court for any reason.
No, but George Nuri and Art Bell started, well, Art Bell really started
Coast to Coast, right?
Yeah, and but his shows are all—they're not live, as far as I know, right? They weren't live.
You know, to be quite honest, I really don't know all that much about how they handle their productions.
Well, they could have been then, but you know, there is a difference when you're live, and I didn't really appreciate that until I made some mistakes or, you know, ran out of the script or something happened or the line dropped. And it's such an exciting thing because it's really fun to not know what you're going to say or not have a script. I used to write, you know, lists of questions that I would have for the guests so that if I wanted to have a question to ask them, I could fall back on it. But 9 times out of 10, I found that I just enjoyed talking to them and that the script was already written. I didn't have to actually look at the notes.
You know, that's how this kind of started. Even way back when, you'd kind of explain the origins of BBS radio. Just a few people were talking. Winfrey, myself, and sometimes it was the late, great Dr. Fred Bell.
Oh, yeah.
And even Nancy. But there was a few of them. And we were just talking on the phone, and it got to the point where they would say, gee, wish we could have said that on the air, or wish we would have recorded that. Gosh, wouldn't it be nice if we could have been live at the time we said that? You know, and often enough, the conversations we had were pretty wild and intense, and a lot of information came out. And, you know, after hearing that often enough from the few people like Dr. Bell and Wynn especially, yeah, he was really kind of the one who said, gee, you know, the very first person.
Huh.
It would be nice to have this on the air. And so I somehow figured it out. I finagled a way to do it. I'd never been anywhere in a station, didn't really know how it was done. So I did my own thing, created a customized situation, and later, after developing it, at least mechanically, my brother came aboard, you know, shortly thereafter, and it's been an adventure ever since. But again, yeah, really, it came out of a love for gabbing and the wishing that somehow everybody could be a part of it. Because information, we love information. We didn't want it to be lost. I mean, here we are talking about UFOs, contactees, things that, you know, insiders know that sometimes, you know, people aren't made aware of, especially back then. Mm-hmm. And being able to reveal a lot of that, bring it out into the open, yeah, it was crazy. Mm-hmm, and we did, again, we didn't censor. So we had a lot of trouble, a lot of, let's just say, problems that I think were, you know, might have been avoided had we, you know, been more like a regular radio station. But we were rebels. And so we ended up getting slapped around quite a bit. And has that changed?
No.
No, not, well.
A little.
It's different now, a little different, but not really. But a little less, maybe, I would say. Maybe we've just gotten used to it.
Well, the station does get tampered with by various sources, doesn't it?
It does, yes, on a great level, I might add, yeah.
Yeah. So there is some kind of...
There's always interference going on electronically, of course. Not only when we're live, but the streams and you know, they whoever does this, you know, they tend to make their feelings felt often enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's really kind of interesting because now is a time when it seems that we're almost poised for an avalanche of information to come out. It's as if we've been building up, you know. I came in before 2012, long enough before 2012 that I got on that New Age bandwagon, and of course I had to talk to everybody that was knew about it, and you know, Barbara Ann Clow had a lot of information, and you know, various people that were on the forefront of the 2012 movement, and in retrospect, I can see that. You know, that was an interesting time, but, you know, things change, and the more things change, the more they stay the same, you know?
Well, that's right.
So, you know, you are who you are, and, you know, that's, in spite of all the places you go, you know, at the end of the day, there you are.
You are.
Well, you know, I didn't know Dr. Fred Bell. Wasn't there something odd about his passage, or?
It was. Yeah, there was a little fanfare about it, only because he had worked with the CIA, and he, you know, there was certain intelligence obviously given to him with because of who he worked with, uh-huh. And. When he went to discuss certain things, I guess, about the one of the technologies, the death ray, the satellite kind of array uh-huh. that they have, he went to see Jesse Ventura for his show, right? And uh-huh. Jesse Ventura had that show going on at the time, and he seemed like a pretty righteous dude, right? So, Dr. Bell went over there to talk to him, and... I guess he discussed that. I know they had called us from there before they were coming back. He was pretty happy, excited, thought he did real well on the interview and was looking forward to coming back. And then not long thereafter, I was told that he had died from a heart attack and that somehow he was there in the room and was talking to his girlfriend uh-huh. at the time who was with him. And right there in the hotel, he just dropped. Right in front of her, just dropped like a stone. And, of course, it's a little odd, right? Here he is. He's a knowledgeable individual. And he's talking about certain things he probably wished he hadn't. I don't think he wishes anything right now, but it could have been that which got him killed, right? Because he was talking about
course.
The death, sure, and he was at the hotel right at the time, and it was a little suspicious. So, again, a little fanfare about all that. What are you going to do? You can't prove anything.
Well, that's the way it is,
right?
And that's the way it's been for hundreds of years. Thousands of years, I guess. But, people are killed all the time, and there's... you and I know that the technology exists to single out one person and, you know, cause a heart attack or cancer. They can do all kinds of things from remote places and do.
Yeah, the most exotic things you don't even hear about.
What's some of the most bizarre stuff that you have heard about through some of the people broadcasting that you've come to accept as, you know, true? Like, for instance, one of my guests, Andre Bajago, talked about the Mars base and being in the time jump and time traveling program that was funded by the Vatican and DARPA. And this is really old information, so it's nothing new. It's on the Internet, and he talks about it all the time. So, you know, it's not new stuff, but and that there's a base on Mars and a base on the Moon and the other planets, and that there's a breakaway civilization and so on and so forth. What's some of the most interesting stuff you've discovered?
That's about it. You know, right? When it comes to our great origins and our great ancestors, we're all curious. That's what's pretty much keeps a lot of us motivated, finding out the answers to that, right? So those are my questions. That's what that really gets me off. Who were we? Where did we come from? What's our history? And that information has been absconded from us. Thieves in the night have stolen our minds.
Right.
And all this sequestered information seems to be, you know, I mean, it's obviously somebody's either sequestering it somewhere for later usage or they're receiving the benefits thereof without our knowledge. That bothers me. That's why I want to be an open network. I think without the information from our past, who we are as a people and a civilization, that really affects us as we move forward. And I think that's kind of a compelling reason why I'm in this. I want people to kind of wake up and remember who they are as a people and what they're capable of and where they'd like to go. And I like being a part of that. It's an open, honest adventure. I don't like to be corralled, put in a box. I don't like the people around me, or civilized people, put in a box either and corralled. So I'm an individual who believes that if you've got a truth to tell, tell it.
Right, right. Absolutely. And, you know,
it might cost you your life, and there's been that it does happen. It's happened not just once on our network, but it's been happening a few times to other people that have either come or gone or been interviewed by our network. And, you know, I mean, sad to say, it's I wish it would be rare, but it's not even rare. So, yeah.
Right. Well, you know, it just seems, again, it seems like we're poised on the edge of some kind of opening in the information flow, that all of that information that's been sequestered, it can't be held back forever. You know, it's as if it's bursting at the seams to come out. And there's been so much hidden that it can't be covered up with the technology that we have today to communicate. So at best, it seems that there can be a global surveillance system and monitoring to stop or halt things from coming out. But that really isn't going to be effective forever, because it'll just become more oppressive, and the results will be people will want to get squeezed, and they'll want to come out even more.
Yeah, you could be right. That feels right.
I mean, you know, things could go in any direction. You know, it's we're in a matrix. That much seems to be pretty true, that we are corralled. And, you know, they even talk about the matrix that happens when you die, and the near-death experience that that we're kind of in a loop-de-loop, kept coming back and returning in incarnation after incarnation, and we never escape the solar system because we're not allowed to.
Yeah, I hear all that. Now, that, to me, gets a little too far out there.
Okay.
I think once it's kind of like than NDEers. Once you get to the other side, you pretty much do what you want. You want to come back, you come back. I personally believe everybody comes right back because we're living to get here. You know, we're dying to get over there, but we're living to get over here. In other words, this is the only game in town. Why do you think we all created it? We created it to have some fun. And it's our playground. You think you want to be on the other side or you want to be in the playground you created? Right?
And
the playground wouldn't have any fun if it didn't wasn't challenging.
Well, it seems that it's becoming increasingly challenging, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's part of the charm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I can see that. I can see both sides of it. You know, I can see both sides of that, and all sides of it, actually, because it's not just two-sided, it's multidimensional and
sure.
and multifaceted. So, you know, my thinking has had to change over the years, you know, and not become either this way or that way.
Right. I tend to think, even though we might be in a cyclical situation that, you know, we are a part of, let's say a reincarnation schedule or situation, even though that might be the truth, I still think we're all powerful ultimately, and we're here because we want to be here. I don't think there's any entity out in the universe that could hold us somewhere if we chose not to be there, especially if we were dead. I think as we learn our origins, though, which to me is going to be fascinating, and I think we're going to learn them from our visitors, either they're off-world visitors or hidden visitors, hidden world visitors. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to learn origins that from them, our true origins, let's say. And I think that time's fast approaching. I think we're going to probably see that over the next... I was hoping we'd see it by now. But
me
I'm
too.
Certain
me
it's
too.
Within our lifetime. I'm certain that we're going to be seeing something like this in the next decade or two. That
right.
we're going to have a much more open situation when it comes to visitors from other planets. And long overdue. I think they're as eager as we are. I think what it comes down to is, like you and many others know, there's a stranglehold going on. That
yeah.
stranglehold is by people that... want to keep others kind of limited, not limitless, and bound by their ignorance.
Yes. Yes.
And that's, you know, been a planetary thing for a long time. I'm hoping, really hoping that doesn't continue, but it might. I mean, who knows?
Well, I'm with you on that one. And Barbara Marciniak, I remember one of her channelings at Stanford, which was about 1993 or something, and she talked about us being systems busters, that we've come in to kind of break up the system. And, you know, for some of my guests
yeah,
are
like that.
Coming in from all kinds of places, like Proterian. The Proterian Collective has people here. And, you know, there are all kinds of people that have human bodies that their point of origin was not necessarily Earth. I don't think there are too many real Earth people here at all.
Oh, I'm sure there is. I'm sure the people here got a great dose of Earth, and I think we're all almost a melting pot at this point.
Yeah.
We've all got little Earth genes. We've all got genetics from probably I'm going to guess here, but I would believe at least three star races and the Earth original race, possibly. So probably looking at all of us somewhere around genetics from... beings, races from, you know, maybe this galaxy may be another, but several.
Mm.
I only believe that because geneticists have said it.
Right, right.
I mean, what do I know?
Right.
They've only talked about a couple, one in particular, but who knows? I mean, from some of the stuff I've read, I think more races than just one got involved. I think there's actually been several.
Yes, I would think so.
Mm-hmm. At least directly into our genetics. There's been many races come and gone, but I think several have directly gotten involved in the genetics side of the human race and have granted us part of their genetics. Why that is, I think that was kind of by design originally by some of the geneticists, right?
And also, some have, as you said, the system of control and domination has put some governors, as you might call them, on the cars. You know, that we've been maybe snipped here and there in our DNA just to keep us from having abilities that we...
I think we were born, we were created that way with less abilities. I don't think someone later went in and then
You don't think anybody
redesigned someone else's efforts in order to keep us dumb? No, I don't believe that, no. I think we were purposely created stupid. ignorant, let's say. Or not ignorant, but have the less mental capacity, right, for certain things. And we were created that way. And over time, we've actually, you know, eventually kind of upgraded a little here and a little there, probably by the same group that started it all, maybe by others. I'm guessing, again, a few races got involved ultimately. But, yeah, I think we started out as a very limited capacity being, and that's, you know, changed.
Huh. I kind of see it almost the opposite way, that we came in with more abilities, maybe not necessarily intelligence, but more capacity to use psychic and empathic skills than we have now. And that, you know, if you look at civilizations as they've risen and fallen, it seems that people have kind of lost a lot of their connection to those abilities over time.
Right, those esoteric studies. You know, true, I think a lot of the information that we were taught from, let's say, space visitors. I'm big into that, folks. I'm kind of like that one guy. If it's is it an alien? If it is, if it could be an alien and it needs to be an alien, well, then by God, it's an alien.
Well, I'm pretty certain that they're all over the place and that they're here now.
Oh, I believe that is a fact.
Yeah,
as
exactly.
A fact.
I mean, for me, that's the truth that I no longer have to.
Yeah, no, I know it. It's just that's a fact. Whether they choose to make themselves known like they did to others, like they did to me, I don't know. But it's a fact. They're around. They're here, and they're involved. I really don't know how involved, to what extent anymore, what's really going on. I kind of guess like everybody else, but they're here, and they're certainly a part of it.
Yes, I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you, and they're probably all over the place as far as...
It seems like they're hiding from each other, though. That's the weird part, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm
right.
Guessing that they're kind of a little bit like us. They're people that don't like each other, or they don't like certain groups. There may be, you know, various, so many different forms of extraterrestrial life that they look down on other forms and consider them to be this or that or the other thing.
Right,
so
right.
Even within their own race, they may have infighting and arguments. So, you know, we'll just have to see what blows out if they start coming out of the closet finally. I think that's a good idea, though, to have them, you know, reveal themselves. It would certainly change everything, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Wouldn't it?
Well, like free energy would change everything, and that's been around for decades.
Right. It's, and, you know, we keep thinking everything's modern.
Oh,
funny. Oh, no. Yeah, that's right. It isn't modern.
It's not modern. Right. It's antiquated.
Right.
Antediluvian. In fact, it's almost the Dark Ages. Yeah, nothing has really changed much in the time that I've been alive, and I was born in 1950, and we're still on gas cars. I thought we'd have flying cars by now, anti-gravity, and more of a Jetsons type of lifestyle, and none of it has been brought out. That technology exists. The breakaway civilization has it, and certainly the corporations have it, but we don't have it. You know, we're kept, they keep metering it out, doling it out one penny at a time, and then they make their trillions, and that seems to be the way it works.
We're being used, slave labor, let's be honest. That's the way it seems somehow we were born for that, bred for that, and now we're being used for that still, only unbeknownst to us. You know, even though we're still being used as slave labor, we feel we're free, right? We still believe we have the freedom to do as we wish. But financially speaking, not at all. I think, I don't know whether that's because of outside interference, outside world governments, which I believe, by the way, is true. I believe it's other world governments, planetary governments that might be affecting our government. I mean, people don't really consider that. And that might be why there's such a stranglehold.
Yes.
Hard, really to say. Again, I'm guessing at that. Like,
yeah. That's kind of the feeling I have, too.
You. I think there's a struggle going on here. I believe that struggle is for the fate of the destiny of humankind.
Yes. One very sharp interviewer mentioned on one of her shows that she had drilled down to the bottom line of what the government knows, and she said that the essence of it was that this alien group had two different factions, and one was, and it was a bet, and one side was betting. I mean, these are all just stories that you can ramble them off all day and night, but one side was betting on us failing, that we were worthless, and the other side is betting that we have great value. And so the side that's betting against us, of course, was allowed to do anything they wanted to try to bring us down. And that
all of it's allowed, right?
Yeah, right.
All the fighting, to a certain degree, is all allowed, even the infighting, the bickering, the wars.
Yeah.
You know, it all serves a purpose. And it's still going on today. Yeah,
it does seem to be, doesn't it?
Oh yeah, more so now than ever, I would think. I think you probably got families jockeying for positioning right now for some reason. What does that portend? And families have been jockeying for that position, for their positions globally, pretty aggressively. So
yes,
I think that portends a great change on the horizon. We might be in it now.
I wouldn't be surprised. Not surprised at all. You know, I thought, of course, that 2012 was going to be a game changer, and perhaps it was in its own way, but I think the real exciting stuff is actually going to be within our lifetime, as you said.
Oh, I truly believe that. I truly believe that. And I believe that, I'm hopeful. I mean, we have life extension techniques that have been around for a long time. We've seen some of these beings that have been around for very long periods of time. Folks, some of these beings are kind of immortal.
Yes,
I mean,
right.
They don't die.
Right.
And if they do, believe it or not, I mean, that can even be remedied, oddly enough. You got some very interesting characters out there. Yeah, I mean, it should be available to everybody. The technologies, the wisdom, our past, our history, and so we can build our own future. That should all be made available. But it isn't, again, by design, because there are families that make way too much money off the current paradigm, and that money gives them a lot of status, gives them a lot of power, it gives them what they're looking for. And is that going to change anytime soon? Unlikely. Unlikely. I believe that's because it might be outside of our ability to control, because it is interplanetary or based, we have other governments to consider, not just our own.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it sounds wild, folks. I know. Hey. But then I didn't start this because I was sane.
Right. And it's nice that to find people that can have an open mind and entertain any idea and still keep an open mind. The thing that about chemtrails was surprising
keep
to me.
Keep your open mind, because everything is not as it seems.
Oh,
nothing
yes, absolutely.
Is as it seems.
Absolutely. There's no question about that.
Yeah, obfuscating everything.
Yep. One of my guests is Ole Damegaard, and he's been one of my favorite guest because he's delved for 30 years into the false flag and the murders of various people, the Kennedys and Marilyn Monroe and movie stars and rock stars and all that. And he's been able to verify that these are all done by the same group, and that it's almost like a product. It is a production company, actually, and it has its own types of cameras and people and working for them and a certain style that they use. And I said, well, what must it be like to be creating a terror event, you know, that's not real? And he said, well, it's probably just a job. They go into work, and they have to, you know, do something here and make it look like people were shot and have blood here and blood there. So it's almost like the world is a stage.
Well, of course it is.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
It's exactly.
One big, you know, and the political sphere is kind of like the entertainment arm of the globalists.
Yes. And
a lot of people... wonder why these people are globalists instead of nationalists. Really, because they see a bigger picture than we do, to be quite honest. They do. And they want to be players in it. And that's the new paradigm. You can't go back to living in the small little home when you see grandeur and everything else around you.
Yes.
Right? Eventually, it starts to grow and grow. And that's what's happening here. So, can't really blame anybody.
Well, of course not.
They want to be powerful.
Right. And who doesn't want that?
Well, I just think they're playing a different role. They're being the financial gods.
Mm.
Right? They're still human, but they're financial gods, some of these people, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
Yeah. They can pretty much change the psychology of the mass population. They can deliver whatever technologies they want. They can own what they want. You even have Soros has kind of proven that, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And they can even insure some of their buildings just weeks before they are torn down because they, you know, like in 9/11, the Twin Towers, they were heavily insured just before they got
Larry hit. Pullet Silverstein, right.
Yeah, right. Boy, he made a killing on that.
Didn't he ever? He gave the order and made the money.
Yep. And a lot of people made money in that little operation that so many people like to believe
was
real.
It's a right-in-your-face truth, isn't it? And, you know, they can deal with the truth as long as it doesn't get too out of hand. In fact, every time something bad occurs, you can expect that the truth will be put out there. You might not believe it, but they'll weigh very heavily on the lies. But usually the truth will be put out there in one form or another so it can't come back to bite you. They do that so they can figure out the ways to cover for that. And so truth is manageable. You almost want the truth out there in certain ways, like I said, but it is manageable. So the lies become a tool, and these false flags become a tool. And again, like you say, it's a big stage. It's a big theater. And a few people are playing everybody. And they're having a ball.
Yeah.
They must be.
Well, one would think.
But again, it comes back to, I believe, situations that they're dealing with, maybe interplanetary. I say that because, you know, what if some outside government were saying to this planet, we have a contract with you to mine various resources, or you're resource heavy in this area and certain agreements are made, you know, you'd pretty much have to follow those agreements. You'd have to. I mean, what are you going to say? No?
Right.
You'd probably be spanked out of your mind. So I think that we're beholden in some ways to various contracts. What does that mean? I don't really know. But I believe that's part of the reason why we're being kept ignorant to fulfill those contracts, too.
Yes, yes. And part of those contracts may be to supply human DNA to off-world situations for research or use.
Or whatever resources.
Whatever, yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so hopefully those contracts will come due pretty soon, and there will be a renegotiation possible.
Well, I see that. I mean, you can see in the crop circles that there are certain races communicating with us, and they're giving us technology. They're giving us information, and a lot of it's chronological when you look at it. So they're giving us a lot of information, and it is different races. It isn't just one ET race doing this.
Right.
Because they have, you know, they have different patterns to them. But they're communicating with somebody here, or maybe us, who knows. But there's communication going on various levels right out there in the open. And one of those communications, several actually, but one pretty much identifies one of those races as being one of our founding races by Lord Enki, right? Lord of the Earth. You know, you're looking at... well, in title anyways, right? But Lord Enki was the geneticist, and I think that he's signing those crop circles. Again, folks, they live for, think in terms of not hundreds of thousands of years, millions.
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 Right.
So Lord Enki is signing is some of these crop circles. In digitally speaking, in ASCII, right, in a binary, I mean. And so we kind of know what's going on. Now, that has ramped up, so it's ramping up for a reason. Again, it all leads me to the theory that we're coming to some grand awareness, and that awareness has a lot to do with our history, because once we know our history, we can better gauge the kind of future we want. Out of knowledge and not ignorance, because right now we're just flailing away in ignorance, and that becomes very repetitive. You just keep doing the wrong things over and over again, you know, and that's kind of the pattern we've been in. I believe that's coming to a conclusion, and hopefully in the next couple decades or less. And I also believe that has a lot to do with contracts and what's occurred by other governments, not just our own. And when I mean other governments, I do mean off-world governments.
Right, right. I'm
not talking on-world, right.
Right.
Or unless there may be the hidden, because I do believe there are hidden councils of beings that work here on the Earth, inside the Earth. I don't really believe in this hole in the North Pole and South Pole, so to speak, but I do believe in large tunnel systems and cavern systems that have been created throughout the world, and beings living down there in plenty, and even in the various polar regions, they're living there in plenty, and under the ocean in plenty. So and we have more research facilities than most people could even believe, and I believe, as some have told me, that we even work with some of these races, or I mean some of these camps where these off-world races are. Well, I didn't mean we work with some of the races. I mean we just work at some of the camps. I don't know how many races we'd be working with, whether that be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I have no clue.
Well, and there are also some who are talking about there are more ships coming and going into the water, the seas and the oceans and the mountains.
Constantly.
Then there are flying around in the skies.
Yeah. So, yeah. And they're good at remaining hidden. I mean, much of the craft can do what we're just now learning how to do, and that's bend light, change the direction of light when it comes at you, direct it away, almost like that new liquid that repels when you push it. It repels towards you when you push it. And similar things with properties of light. Those ships that are able to remain hidden very easily.
Well, I know where I'm at, which is over in the Sierras, there are no streetlights in my area. I'm overlooking the American River. And I often see things in the sky that are very unusual. And they seem to have, they're multicolored, and they hover, basically. And then they'll move to the right, and they go up, and they go left. And I mean, you know, you can follow them with your eyes. And it can be kind of mesmerizing after a while because they just...
they do tricks. They really do. I promise you, folks, if you sit down And I've always said this, and others have said this too, like Stephen Greer. If you want contact, and you earnestly, you know, try. In other words, meet them halfway. I mean, but you put some passion into it, and some thought, and you do this, especially maybe, maybe in the evenings, clear skies, you're meditating, or maybe you're doing this with others, but eventually you're going to get what you're seeking. You will find what you seek. You will have a presence that makes itself known to you if that's what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. Maybe not quite the way you're expecting it, but you'll likely get it. And I hear this over and over and over, not just because it happened to me, but others who've done the same thing, who wouldn't, you know, I said, just, you know, if you really want to see a UFO, if that's really what you want, you'll get it. Just keep trying. They'd go, oh, yeah, you know, so it's, somehow they seem to be aware of our thoughts as well, which is really, I don't know whether it's scary or exciting. I'm kind of glad on the one hand and sometimes not so much on the other, but
you're
dealing with some pretty incredible technologies. Incredible technologies.
Yes, way beyond anything that we're accustomed to.
Right. Yeah.
Well, what do you think about artificial intelligence? Again, I see it as being on many levels, but the artificial intelligence that they're talking about on Earth, from as far as I know, is not the same artificial intelligence that is running things from outside.
I have
Earth.
A thought on that. It's a guess. It's kind of like Indian in the machine, or that not Indian. I'm just so sorry. Kind of like that in the machine, the motor, the guy in the machine, the lawnmower man, or whatever.
Yeah. I like that one.
Right. Gosh, that's a hard one to have a discussion about.
Okay. I'm easy.
That'd lead me into too many tangents.
All right. What are some of the most fascinating things that you have discovered or that have happened during the... How many years has BBS been in it?
Since 2003. We've been around a while. 2003 is blog in service, right? And then we changed to BBS Radio in 2004. It was an acronym originally for Blog In Broadcasting Service. We added the broadcasting in there for the BBS. But eventually we just, in 2004, just changed the name to BBS Radio, which was fully our name. And since then we've been, working under the name BBS Radio, and we also have BBS Talk Radio and a few others, but really our primary name is BBS Radio. It's no longer an acronym. It stands for the actual name of our network, and we're trademarking that as well. We've already registered the trademark of BBS Radio, but we're also registering the trademark of BBS. So we've been going through the process and the lawyers, and we've recently had to, write some opinions because someone thought, you know, it was too... Because remember, BBS is the precursor to WWW. It's a bulletin board system. So, the companies still think that, hey, that's, you know, that acronym's taboo. How come you should own that, right? So, but we've been using it long before anybody in this arena and in various categories, so we figured we'd trademark it. And I think we're going to get that trademark as well registered. It's looking fairly good so far. So ultimately, we're hopefully going to move into more and more media as BBS, right?
Yes. I'd love to see that. And I'd like to see videos.
We're adding. We've already added video. We can now do full-on video, interactive video productions for, you know, we can add that onto any radio show now. So people can, see the video, and we'll be able to record it and stream it.
That'd be wonderful.
We're doing that now. We're just not doing it for any live shows. The shows we're doing it for are on other networks or have various contracts with us, and they don't quite know how to do it, so we're doing it for them. But we have made that available open to our broadcasters now as of a few weeks ago. And we're talking to a few of them about doing video shows. So we'll see. It's going to be an added thing for us. We're radio. Video to us is just going to be an added compliment, kind of like, okay, it's a feature, one feature. Not the whole, it's not going to be all that and more. We're not about that.
Yeah.
It's just going to be an added feature that some of our broadcasters will have and some won't. They might add video, they probably won't. To be quite honest, most radio show hosts, they want to do great radio. They don't want to have to look good doing it. They don't want to have
right.
to gussy up. And they want to be able to do it from anywhere, in their car if they have to.
Yeah.
And we've made that so easy for them that that's the way they like it. So most of our hosts aren't really running to the video store to get the equipment. They just don't want to have to go through the headaches and the hassle.
Right.
But you may see a couple video shows on our network here and there as we roll. We'll see.
We've added that capability. I might even do one.
Yeah, whatever you like, sure. I mean, it's simple to do. Once you have the technology and it's put together, it's just a process.
Right, right. Who are some of the more memorable people that you've enjoyed over the years?
Wow, there have been so many. Oh,
yeah,
gosh,
so many.
Yeah, I overwhelmed sometimes with some of it. It gets me staring out into space thinking, you know, or not thinking for various spells of time due to all that information. It's pretty incredible, some of it. And I hear a lot more of it than most of you because I hear what you don't hear. And that's usually between the shows, after the shows, or people, you know, calling us up out of the blue, saying pretty, you know, yeah, we need help. We're under, you know, certain things are happening and we need to get the word out. And they're life-threatening conditions, you know, and have been. And then later on, you didn't take them or believe them or you didn't do anything for them. And then you hear that they've, you know, met an untimely demise. And that happens, you know.
Yeah.
The world's getting more and more, I think, though, relaxed. The chaos has gone away. I don't see the chaos as much as we did, let's say, the first few years of Obama's reign.
Yeah.
We didn't see it. That was quite a bit of chaos going on in the electronosphere. But now it's not as bad. I would say crazy has started to go away. All the real crazy is starting to be ironed out, at least in some respects. You know.
Okay.
What does that mean? Well, you know what I mean. It's kind of like the Y2K and the 2000 craziness. It eventually simmered down.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of the crazy that's been happening, false flags everywhere, let's say, for certain agendas, making certain agendas come true, that's now diminished quite a bit. Yeah.
It does seem
and
to
I know. Feel it. I mean, when you're a network and you're in media, you know. I mean, you just feel it. You can't help it. It engages you in every aspect of what you're doing, so you feel it vividly. And so, again, crazy's kind of, we've mellowed out now. Things are starting to become more serene. And I see that continue. I think joy levels are going to increase. I'm hoping, again, it's leading to more and more technologies, life extension technologies, free energy technologies. But ultimately, will it? Probably not, because we're still dealing with financial arrangements from one government and another, I think. You know, it comes back to those agreements. So how likely are we ever to see the paradise we're all hoping for? It's unlikely, right? Even though we're wishing for it, it's probably unlikely. Even this big hoorah that may come in a decade or two, will that likely liberate us to be able to follow our own desires as a human species? Don't know. Tough to say. Some people say the Earth was created as a penal colony. Some people say that, you know, it's a jewel in the eye of the overlords out there. Or some people say it's, you know, we're in a certain area that makes it all important.
Right.
Who knows? Who knows?
Have you seen a lot of shifts in these? You have a lot of spiritual hosts that are, you know, working on from a different angle. Have you seen growth in that area?
I have, but I you know, as people get more and more towards the truth of those things, well, again, that it, tough to say. That's a tough one to really explain. I think the more and more as we head into the truth, bear with me. Can I get you to hold it? We're getting a caller.
Oh, okay.
Did you want me to ignore the callers or?
No, but get them on. We have about a minute left.
All right, caller, you've got about a minute. Uh-oh, I think that's, sorry, I got so many people talking to me now. He says we've got about a minute. That's Doug, your engineer. My boss at the moment.
Yeah.
Gosh, I would have liked to talk a little bit more with you, Zany, because the discussions you and I used to have were some of the best times of my life. I've loved those discussions, and I miss them. I miss you. I miss those talks we had for hours on end contemplating the destiny of everything.
Yeah, I know. I know you've got an incredible mind, and I love sharing information with you because you just are such an interesting person to talk to. So,
oh, thanks.
I just thought I'd, share that because, people may not know that the people behind BBS Radio are really very interesting people. And, I like that you're rebellious. And I also like the fact that you sent me an email asking me if I wanted to have my own radio show years ago.
Well, we love you. To answer that initial question, I think the spiritual industry has been taken over. I think a lot of it has been, so many lies and bullshit that it's created an atmosphere that's almost like an odeur on the spiritual evolution, right? It has, because it's been, there's been so many lies and the sequestering of the real information.
And
you got a lot of people out there that they want to achieve fame and they got large egos and they're saying whatever is put in front of them by people that don't want you to really know the truth. They just want you to kind of have fascinating dreams, maybe. So there's a lot of, I call it piss peddling out there, and it's pretty extreme. So when people tell, how's the spiritual movement moving these days? I don't know. I mean, that's why I did hesitate to answer that before the phone started ringing. I don't really know how to answer that. I don't really want to, because you might not like the answers.
Right.
A lot of it's mind, they're messing with your heads in so many ways that people just are, they're now almost immune to a lot of it, like I get to information. If they get immune to a lot of it, they won't be able to hear the truth.
Yeah. They're
too desensitized. And that's unfortunate, and that's what goes on, especially in ufology, in our ancient astronaut theories. You get desensitized because you hear so much rub that you don't believe the truth when it's slapping you.
Right.
So that, in large part, that might be part of the undoing of some of it, unfortunately.
Well, we have about 30 seconds left. Is there anything that you'd like to share?
Oh, wow. 30... See, you had me going. Nobody has me going but like you had me going.
We could have gone on, too. That was a thread we could have.
I do got to run. He just said, no, you have no time left. So, gosh, I'm going to let you close out. And to your audience, I love your audience. Lance, to you, I love your audience because I love you, man.
You're
the best of us. You really are. I love you so much. If I were there, I'd be giving you a big hug and a kiss. My friend.
You'd get one back.
Thank you. I love you. You have a wonderful evening. And to your audience, thanks for having me. I'll let you close up.
All right. Thanks a lot. That was Don Newsom, one of the two owners, and the other one is Doug, another wonderful person. I haven't had him on the show yet, but... I talk to him every week before the show goes on, and he's quite a fun guy. I love talking to him, and so maybe one of these days we'll get Doug on the show too. So I really appreciate these two guys and what they've started, and we're out of time, so I'm just going to say goodnight, everybody, and thank you for being with me, and thank you for listening. Bye-bye.